This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by John Bluford. John has had this remarkable career. He had two long runs, two great amazing runs as a CEO. Now he runs the Bluford Leadership Institute and is really a great leader with a great career. He's also worked as part of his career at the CDC. He's going to talk to us a lot today about his career, about advice that he would give to other CEOs, about what he sees with COVID-19, and a little bit more. John, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Hey, I'd be more than happy to. Thank you, Scott, and thanks for having me on your podcast. Well, I've first and foremost, I guess, I've been a husband for 25 years to a young woman that I met in college, Joanne. Her maiden name was Harper at that time, and we have lived in both the Twin Cities, Minneapolis area, and for the last 21 years here in Kansas City, Missouri. I have two children. They're twins, adult children. John, my son, lives in Asheville, North Carolina, and Jennifer, my daughter and my grandson, live in Chicago, Illinois. Not too far from your offices, in fact.
There's no place better than Chicago, but thank you. Keep on going, John. Thank you.
Yeah, no better than in Chicago in the summer, I might add.
Yes.
But nonetheless, we have two residences, really, in a suburb of Kansas City, Missouri. And then we bought a home about 6-7 years ago in Kiowa Allen, South Carolina. And there's a reason for that. Because I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina, part-time, and the other half of my growing years was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But the majority of my time was in Columbia, where I went to junior high and high school. Left there in the late 60s and went to the HBCU Fisk University. Spent 4 wonderful years there and got a great education, and traveled off to Northwestern's Kellogg School of Business in the early 70s. Took a 2-3 year hiatus from graduate school and worked at the Center for Disease Control, who placed me in St. Louis, Missouri, doing a venereal disease epidemic, gonorrhea and syphilis, in fact. And then completed my MBA at Kellogg in 1973-75, and then did a small stint in the early 80s at Harvard University for a month or 6 weeks, I think it was, in healthcare policy that my employer sent me to. So the summation, Scott, is 40-plus years in healthcare management. From Cook County Hospital, where I learned a lot about the human condition in a very large environment, as you might imagine. In fact, in the 70s, I think it was a 3,000-bed hospital, and I know we had 7,000 employees, and I do remember a $100 million budget, which was a lot of money in 1972. And then I left there and went to a wonderful place in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I ran what was then called a community health center, what we would now call FQHC, Federally Qualified Health Center. And it was a turnaround situation, and I had a great team with me. We did a good job during the era of the war on poverty out of the Lyndon Johnson era. I left there in Minneapolis, got a great opportunity at Hennepin County Medical Center, and stayed there for 22 years in various administrative roles, the last 7 of which was the CEO of the hospital. And in between that, I ran an HMO under the guise of the Hennepin County Medical Center, which was a great learning experience. And then last but not least, served 15 years, the longest running tenure of a CEO at Truman Medical Centers. And again, a excellent opportunity, excellent institution, great people, great community, had a good time. So if I were to summarize very quickly, Scott, my 40 some years, I've kind of been involved with team play. I'm big on building strong teams. I like to lead those teams. I'm not afraid of making decisions. And I often refer to myself as a point guard because I love basketball.
So now, as John, as you get started with the second half of your career, in the first half, you served as CEO of two magnificent systems, served as chair of the American Hospital Association, also chair of the Chamber of Commerce in Kansas City. You've had, in the first part of your career, and I assume you're just getting started, you've had this unbelievable run and set of experiences. Take a moment, John, and talk to us about a couple of things, if you don't mind. First, what advice do you give people that are emerging leaders, trying to be leaders? What do you tell people that are trying to develop great careers?
Well, the first parts of advice that I would share is hire good people. Hire good people. And when I say good, I mean good, smart people. And the good part of it is those people who buy into the organizational mission. I believe that's critically important. They can be good and smart, but if they don't buy into the mission, it doesn't work very well because alignment increases performance and success. And then the last part of that is that those people need to buy into your game plan in achieving the goals of the mission. That's in place, you've got a good shot. The second, or after those three things, good, smart people, I would say establish your own style and be very consistent with that style. And it has to be infused with integrity. Integrity covers up a lot of deficits. So you've got to have that. And then the last point that I would make is even temperament. Present an even temperament to your staff and the people that you're leading. You cannot be a leader without followers. And pay attention to details. My favorite quote, Scott, was everything matters. And I've lived by that concept for many, many years, and it's paid good dividends.
So when I think about John, I'll just good people that are aligned with the vision, high integrity, even temperament, and attention to details. Looking at four or five qualities of leaders you think about. Talk about you, Tony Waller, some others have been champions of diversity in healthcare. Before that was on everybody's agenda. You've been a leader in the area, a leader in this world. Talk about what the Bluford Leadership Institute and diversity and more. What do you sort of view as some of the big things you're trying to influence and impact in healthcare and in our country?
Well, thank you very much for asking that question. So I retired from day-to-day administration at the hospital in October of 2014. About 2 years prior to that, I set up a 501c3 that's called the Bluford Healthcare Leadership Institute. And its goal was pretty lofty, still is pretty lofty. And that goal is to eliminate healthcare disparities among minorities and vulnerable patient populations over the next two generations, because I think it's going to take that long. And our strategy in achieving that goal is to recruit young, talented, undergraduate minorities, coach them, orient them, mentor them, coach them, sponsor them, and progressively growing healthcare environments with the hopes that over the next 15 to 20 years, they will enter the C-suite and be in decision-making positions to make a difference toward disparities. I am all in, totally committed 24/7 to developing that cohort of talent and helping them get placed in and progressive and forward-thinking institutions across the country.
Let me ask you this, question. You enjoy a literally magnificent reputation, and it is a privilege for me to get a chance to visit with you today, John. The question is, very few people stay as a CEO at a place more than 5 to 7 years. That's about the average tenure. It's you talk about a point guard. Most people have a point guard career in the NBA. Maybe they're 3 to 7 years at the very most. On average, the NBA tenure is 2 years. You've had the energy level to be CEO at two different places for a run of nearly 30 to 40 years plus, and you still exhibit tremendous clarity and energy and temperament. Do you have to do certain things to maintain that energy and focus and drive, or is that something that you were just born with and comes so naturally to you?
Boy, you have great questions, and I do have a fairly easy answer to that. I've been a student of the corporate athlete, and I believe in it. And it's not just physical conditioning, but mental conditioning, emotional conditioning, spiritual conditioning. It's some work and research that some professors at Harvard did some 20 years ago, and I still abide by a lot of those principles. And I think fitness and staying in good physical conditioning is important because I believe to be successful, and particularly over a long period of time, you need stamina. And those lessons from that research have driven me to still be active and engaged and enjoy what I do. I think that's the other element. I mean, I really have been fortunate to be in the positions I've been in and doing the work that I do. I think I was made for this kind of work, and that certainly helps.
John, is there a nicer place to be in the world than Kiowa Island?
No.
That's an easy question, right? I mean, there's literally few nicer places in the world than Kiowa. I mean, that's really the truth, isn't it?
Yeah,
and
it might surprise you. I don't play golf, but I play a lot of tennis. And the Kiowa Island is on clay courts, and that makes a difference.
People that don't understand this, that are closer, people that are younger, like our producer, don't understand how as you get to our age, if you want to keep on playing tennis, you have to be on the soft courts, which is the hard courts. The knees just can't take it past a certain age, and it is what it is. It's very interesting because it leads people that are avid tennis players to settle in climates where you could do that. You can't do it in Arizona. You can't do it in other places because they don't have soft courts.
Right. It's funny you mentioned that because my choice was between Scottsdale and the Carolinas. And the Carolinas won because of the clay courts.
100%. It's part of if you believe in, you need the regular fitness, and it's a lot easier to get the fitness with things you love doing, like playing tennis and going on and running and stuff like that.
That's right.
It makes it a part of it. It really does. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. John, what I'd love to do is, how do people learn more about the Bluford Institute? And then, obviously, we'd love to get you on again in a month or so because it's just it's a real privilege to talk to you. You're iconic in what you've accomplished, and to me, it just is an honor to get to visit with you. How do people learn more about the Bluford Leadership Institute?
Well, I would encourage all of your listeners to go to www.bluefordinstitute.org, and our website will tell you practically everything you need to know. But I would like to say that we are making a significant impact in just 8 years. And you have to keep in mind, 8 years ago, the people that I was interviewing for this program were freshmen and sophomores in undergraduate schools. So it takes a while for them to get into the workplace, but we've got 69 young people right now on the front lines of healthcare, making a difference, making an impact, and forward-thinking organizations like Atlantic Health, like Henry Ford Hospital, Atrium, St. Luke's Hospital here in Kansas City, KU Medical Center, all over the country. And we feel very good about ourselves in terms of giving these young, talented scholars a good start. Well, so thank you for the opportunity to share that with your audience.
No, John, it is a great pleasure to talk to you. It really is. People that don't know John Bluford should get to know John Bluford. It's really a magnificent pleasure for me and our producer to get to talk to you today. John, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Good luck. Be safe.